First of all, we're going to look at SQL Server. And SQL Server is embedded in Visual Basic. Okay, they decided to embed it in. I used to work with Access because you can also get Access. You can get Oracle for that matter, but Microsoft products are easier, so I used to do Access. But now they have moved SQL into SQL Server into it, so the book uses SQL Server. So I want you to check your book and make sure you've got the right version of that, and if not, I'll Xerox that chapter for you.
All right.
So we're going to look at it, but the problem is connecting to the database and creating the database is a lot more pushing buttons in the right sequence than it is logic and thinking. And so it's a pain in the neck because you have to remember to hit the right buttons in the right sequence, and I usually mess up unless I have, you know, written instructions in front of me. There are a lot of little tutorials out on YouTube that say creating a database for Visual Studio. And it doesn't matter whether you do it for Visual Basic or C++. A lot of them do it for C++. But you can follow some of those tutorials and follow up how to hit the buttons right and everything. And I went through 3 or 4 of the tutorials, all of which had minor issues, but I have minor issues when I'm doing it too. So there we have it. The big thing that I wanted to look at, and it looks like I closed. Okay, anybody see smart board floating around? I think I closed it by mistake. Okay, so the first thing we're going to do is talk about databases and what a database is. Are you comfortable with relational databases? What do you know about relational databases? Yeah.
You're referring to, like, you know, one-to-one, one-to-many.
Yeah.
I kind of understand how they work in Access.
Well, they work the same in other things. And Mike, it's been a long time, right?
Yeah. So,
and it's been a long time with some people at home, so we're going to go through that. And then we'll go in and try it. So essentially, with a relational database, I'm going to look at the donor, donation, and drive, which you have seen in other courses. Okay, so I set up 2 tables. And the rules for relational databases are these. And I don't know if I put them in here or not. Notes and handouts. As you can see, I mainly did it all with Access, and I left those Access notes up. I don't actually see my notes. So I'm going to go to CIS 120. And look at relational database normalization rules, and I'll put that over under 156 as well. So, the rules for developing a relational database. A relation is in first normal form if it does not contain repeating groups. Okay? So, basically, the example I always use for that is that if you wanted to have a student and had all the courses that what the student is taking, and so you want to set up a table for the student, and you want to put the course number that they're taking and the semester that they took it and the grade they got. And that takes, let's say, 3 slots. Then you decide that at most a student is going to take 25 courses. So you set up 75 slots to hold all that. And then the students sign up for 26 course, and you tell them, sorry, I only have 25 slots, they're all filled. You can't take the 26 course. Not a good plan. So the way that you would set it up is repeating groups. You would have the student, and the student ID would be the primary key. So that's the primary key. And remember, a primary key means that there's only one of that particular key. So once I've given you an ID number, nobody else can have that ID number. And then you would set up a course table, and the course table would have the student ID on it and the course number. And then you would fill in all of the information about the course. So you would put in the semester that you took it, and then you would take and put in the grade. Okay? So that would be the information about the course. So if the student wanted to take 26 courses, you're going to have 26 records on the table, one for each of their courses. But that doesn't limit the number of courses they can take. They can take as many courses as they want. So that's the problem with repeating groups, is if you're repeating groups, there's a max. And what happens when you hit the max? And I always tell the story about placing an order. And I placed an order of, let's say, 5 items, but I wanted 7. So I tried to say the 6th item, and the woman said, I'm sorry, your order is complete. And I said, no, it's not. I've got 2 more things I want. And she said, well, I can't fill them in. I don't have any place to put them. And I argued with her for a while, and she said, all right. And so she started a whole new order for me. So I had to do 2 orders, because the order thing only had room to fill in 5 items. So that's the problem with repeating groups. Okay? So student would have student ID, student name, and all that. Okay, so that's the problem with that. Now, over in the course file, my key would be what? It can't be student ID, because more than one student is this, wait a minute, the student is taking more than one course. It can't be course number, because more than one student is taking the course. It can't be just semester because the student is taking multiple. So all 3 of these together become the primary key, because it's about the student taking a course in a particular semester. And I have to have semester there, because if you flunk the course, you want to retake it, and then I need to be able to have the student ID and the course number a second time. Now, the other thing is that the grade relates to all 3 of these things. The grade is about the student in that course during that semester. So anything you put on a table has to relate to the primary key, and in fact, it has to relate to the whole primary key. So grade, again, relates to the student, relates to the course, and relates to the semester the student took the course. And that gets us into second normal form, because a relationship is in second normal form if it's in first normal form, and no non-key attribute is dependent on only a portion of the primary key. Okay? So grade, I can't have anything just about the student in. I can't have anything like the course name, because course name is not dependent on the whole primary key, it's just dependent on the course number. Okay? And so I have to only put data down here that is dependent on the whole thing. Okay? So second normal form says that's what I have to do. I can't put course name in there. If I want to have course name, then I go over and make the student courses and come over here, and here are my courses, and course number is the primary key, and then I can put the name of the course here and the number of credits and a whole bunch of stuff about the course. Okay, so I can put stuff about the course there, but that would be another table because I can't carry the name of the course on the student course table. The other thing is you don't want to carry it on there because you, by carrying it on the course table, every course number just has this name written out twice, once. If I were carrying it over here for each person that took it, I've got to write the name out as well as the number every single time for every student. That's one of the reasons why we have course numbers, is so we don't have to write out the whole course name. Okay, because the course name is long and hard to get right, whereas the course number is 6 characters, so it's easy to get. Okay. So that puts it in second normal form, and then a third normal form, a student out of relations in third normal form, if it's in second normal form, and if the only determinants of care is the candidate keys. Okay? So, again, that course thing was in violation of that, too. If I want to put the major in here, okay, so here's my major. And then I decide I want to put in the name of the major. Okay? If I put in the name of the major here, it is dependent on the major. The name of the major is not dependent on the STU ID. It's dependent on the major code. The name of the major is dependent on the name of the code. So, I have a determinant. The major is a determinant. Okay, so the major is a determinant. I can't have anything that relates to the major. So if I want that, then I've got to come over here. Let's call this major code. And I can have the major code, which is the primary key, and then I can get the name of the major over here and the number of credits in the major, or however I want information about the major. Okay?
Now you have 4 tables.
Now I've got 4 tables. So I've now broken this down into 4 tables. Okay? In order to get this. Now it says, the only determinants it contains are candidate keys. So I can have a social security number in that table about the student because that is a candidate key. Okay. Well, that's probably not a great example.
That would go in this, if you wanted, if you put that social security would go in the student.
That's right. So I can make the social security number. Okay. So that's basically the rules for third normal form. Okay, is that you can't have repeating groups. Everything in the table has to be dependent on the whole key. And you can't have anything that is dependent on a field, another field. So I can't have the major name because that would be dependent on the major code. So I couldn't put the major name in on the student one because it's not dependent on the student ID. It's dependent on the major code. And all of these are terribly practical because I don't want to write out the name of the course on everybody's record. Can you imagine then if they change the name of the course? I have to go back. Think about your transcript. And, you know, it has both the number and the name. So what they do is from this student course table, which is what makes up your transcript, okay, the stuff at the top of the transcript comes from the student table. Then the stuff where it lists all of the courses comes from student course table. And then they have to go over from the student course table and grab the course name out of the course table. If they carried the course name in the student course table, then imagine what happens when they change the name of the course. They got to go through and find every student that took that course and change the name. Whereas if it's only once, then they just have to change the name once. And when a course stops, for example, at BCC, if a course stops being carried, its course number is retired. Because it would get too confusing if the course number got reassigned to a different course. So the course number gets retired. Now, at some point, they're probably going to have to give that up because they're going to run out of numbers. But, you know.
For that, because if you went back to go look at somebody that came to this college like 15 years ago, what's been retired, COBOL?
Yeah.
Okay, so you would still be able to go and look and see that student took COBOL.
Right.
Now, that number wouldn't be active anymore. For
that's right.
Current time, correct?
That's right. So the number wouldn't show up in the catalog, but it would definitely show up here, and maybe that's a good point. Under the course, maybe we have something called status, which tells us whether it's been retired or not.
Active or retired.
Right. So that would be on there. Okay. So you end up making four tables, and those four tables make up a database. Now, the other thing we're going to look at is files, and we've already looked at files. And files are more for small temporary things you want to have as opposed to part of a database. So files don't tend to follow these trick standards. I make up a file, and it can hold whatever I want it to hold. And then what we do is call it, when you've got interrelated files or tables, we call it a database. Okay? Now, back before databases came along, then files, we tried to make relational as well. But now people tend to use databases. So, that is that one. So now if I go over to the one I started to look at, the donor donation drive. Okay, so the donor has an ID number, and that's the primary key. And then I put the name of the donor, and I put other information about the donor on there. But I want a donor to give lots of donations. So if I were to put the donations in here on the donor table, I'm going to have repeating groups. So I come over to the donation table, and I say, okay, this is the ID number of the person that gave the donation. But since I want them to give more than one donation, then I have to put something else as part of the key.
Donation amount?
No, because you're going to have amount, but the amount wouldn't be part of the key because a lot of people will give $50 or $100 or numbers like that, so that couldn't be part of the key. What can be part of the key? I put the drive number as part of the key, and I probably didn't have to. And the other thing I put in is the date of the donation. Because if I had the date of the donation, most people aren't going to give two donations the same day. If they do, then I can include date and time. So if I'm really nervous about that, I can make it date and time. Okay, and time goes down to seconds, and nobody's going to give two donations the same second. So I'm okay on that. So this would be my primary key, the three things there. And the amount that they gave relates to the idea of the person that gave the donation, the drive they gave it to, and the date of the donation. And then over here I have the drive number. Okay, so there's my drive number. And that's my primary key. And then I can have the drive name and the chair of the drive and the amount last year and the goal of what I want this year and all of that kind of stuff can be done there. Okay. So that's the three tables I would set up for that. So the biggest problem that a database administrator has is deciding on the tables, figuring out what data goes on what tables, how to set up the tables so that the information is there, because you don't want to make a mistake on this. Because if you make a mistake, it's a pain in the neck to get out of that mistake. You know, it really is. So you try not to make a mistake on this. Okay.
I've done that many times.
Mm-hmm.
I made that mistake 5 times.
Oh, sure. And it's a pain to get out of. Because, so, in a reasonably sized company, and actually with anybody, this decision shouldn't be made by one person. It should be made by a couple of IT people and a couple of people that understand the business. And there should be a lot of give and take and discussion on this. One of the biggest problems I've observed, at least, is when one person does it, because they may not think of everything. But if somebody says, but what about this, but what about that, but how are you going to handle this, it tends to evolve into a much better thing. Okay? So if I have somebody that is going to a bill, and I want to create a bill, and I need to have an invoice, there we go. I need to create an invoice. How many tables do you think I'm going to need? I'm going to need, why do I have all of these things open down below? Yes, I'm actually getting rather nervous about that. No, those are all there. I don't have anything else. What were those all doing? Anybody have any idea why I had Capture down there 20 times? Anyway. Okay. So I have a customer. So it's got a customer ID, and then I'm going to put name and address information and any other information I want to keep on the customer. Okay, so the customer places an order. Maybe that's what I want to talk about, is an order. The customer places an order. Okay? Now, in a lot of the world, when you place an order, there is an order number that is predetermined. You get the next order number in the list. And a lot of times the reason for that is people are placing orders at a variety of stores, we'll say. You know, you have a variety of them. And so you want to have the numbers keep going up, so you have the number being generated by the computer as the next available number. So lots of times the order number is the primary key, okay? So the order number is the primary key because it's a unique number that uniquely identifies each order. Now, we need to also relate all of these together. So the customer ID has to be over here. And the customer ID then relates to the customer ID over there, because I have to know who the customer is, okay? So I've got my order number, and then I've got my customer ID, and then what else am I going to need about the order? The date of the order. So the customer ID links me over there, and that's what's called a foreign key. Because a foreign key links me to another table. But a foreign key has to link to a primary key, a foreign key can't link to just any field. It has to link to a primary key. So customer ID on the order is linking over to the customer. Okay, so that gives me the beginning of the invoice that is going to be sent out, or the beginning of the order, or whatever, because I've got the order number. Then I've got the customer ID links over here and gets the name and the address, and I have the date. So the top part of that is information coming from those two tables. Now, an order is going to be presumably for multiple products. Okay, it might just be for one, but a lot of times it's for multiple products. So how can I handle that?
Product number 3.
But where am I going to have to put that? No, because then I'm going to have repeating groups. That's what got the people in trouble that told me I couldn't order more than 5 things. Is they had it under that table, the order number, and then they had slots for 5 different things. So what I need
table.
To have is
third
another table.
Table.
Yeah. So I'm going to have a detail, order detail, or whatever you want to call it. Okay, the order detail is over there. And that's going to be about the particular product that I want. Okay?
So it'd be like product number.
Right.
And
this is going to have to be the order number because I need to relate to that order, right? So it's going to have to be the order number. And then the product or item number. Okay? Well, item number. That's going to mean I probably need another table that is going to have the item number on it as the primary key. Okay, so I've got the inventory table over there. And so item number is going to link to that. So item number is a foreign key linking to item number on the item table, because that's where I can get information about the price and all that sort of thing. So I've got the order number linking over there. I've got the item number linking over there. That's my primary key. Okay? The order number, this is for a particular order. It's an item on a particular order. Okay, so it's linking like that. Now, what else do I need to know? I need to be able to know the price. And there's a couple of thinking on that. The price is obviously over here in the item. But if orders come in and there's a gap between the time that you fill them, you may want to take over here and take a copy of the price and call it the quoted price. Because if the price has gone up, think of someone of your famous retailers online where the price can go up all of a sudden. Whoops. Okay? You want to be able to give them the price that was quoted and not go, when you fill the order 2 days later or 3 days later, go in and take the price which has changed and gone up.
That's only
if the price has gone down, they'll be happy. But if it's gone up, they're not going to be happy.
That's only if you're like you're a small company, though. You guarantee them a price, right?
Right.
Because if you don't order in that day, it goes up the next day. Oh, well, you're out of luck.
That's right. But if I do the order, and I take the price and put the quoted price over there, and then I have the quantity, because I need to know how much it's ordered. So down here, I have the item number, item name, price, quantity, and total if I want to have that. And I can have a lot of those lines for all of those things. Okay. So I got to come over here to get the item number and the price and the item name.
Total
Well, that can be done in your program. Total can be done, because if I've got price, that actually says price, and quantity, then I can calculate the total. And then I can keep every time I write a line, keep an accumulator, so that I have the grand total at the bottom. So that just simple placing an order now got us up to four tables. Okay? So, basically, it's a problem that has to be figured out. You have to design. Designing the database is the hard part. Implementing it's not hard at all. Comparatively speaking, it's the design that's the hard part. And then what he was saying about the relationships also goes into, when I asked if you were comfortable with this, that there are three kinds of relationships. One to one, one to many, and many to many. We've actually seen quite a few examples of one-to-many, because whenever you go through repeating groups being the problem, then you go into a one-to-many. So a one-to-many was this. I couldn't put the detail over here on the order. I had to have it separate. So the relationship between the order and the order detail is one order can have many details. So that's a one-to-many relationship. Okay? One order can have many details on it. So that gets me a one-to-many relationship. Okay? So one-to-many can be the order and the details of the order. One-to-one, the only really good example I can think of that is payroll, where you want some information to be private and others more public. And so you put the public information on one table and the private information on another table. And so one has your name and address, and the other has things like your boss's review of you and your salary and those things that aren't public. And so that's a one-to-one. So you can have a payroll that's private payroll, and you can have a private and a more public version. And they each have their same ID number, so they're one-to-one. Many-to-many, we actually saw two, because when I say order and details of the order and then inventory, that's really becomes a many-to-many. But the one I like best on many-to-many is one I saw where I have stars, okay? So I have a star number, and a name, and all that information. And then I have a movie table, and that has a movie number, and a movie name. And information about the movie. Okay? Now the problem is that I can't carry the movie over here on the star, because presumably if they're a star, they've been in a lot of movies. And I can't carry the star information over in the movie, because the movie should probably has multiple stars. So that's a many-to-many relationship. I can't carry information about a star over in the movie, or I'll have repeating groups. I can't carry information of the movie over in the star, or I'll have repeating groups. So what they call the table that goes between here is a bridge table. Okay, so it's the movie star or something like that, bridge table. And it is going to have the movie number, the star number, and those are going to be the primary key. And then the salary is what that star got paid for being in that movie. So the salary relates to both the star and the movie. It's what that star got paid to do in that movie. So that's a many-to-many relationship. So, that was 40 minutes of keywords. Questions? Mainly, you should just know the words and know what's happening and know how databases are set up. I'm in no way trying to get you to the point of being able to understand a database. That's a whole course. But just if somebody starts talking about a relational database, you should understand the basics of what a relational database is. Okay? And you should not be developing a relational database until you have a reasonable amount of experience and you've got other people working with you if you want to not make mistakes. Okay. Next, I would like you to read the information on files in the book. And if you don't have a copy of the book, then I would like you to look up how to do Visual Basic files. Back in CIS 120.
Some are read files?
Read and write.
Yes.
Back in CIS, how to process files as opposed to databases. Back in, did I ever take a picture of that? I think I did. Okay, if you go back, and I'm going to bring up Visual Studio. Okay, you've already done some handling with files. So if I do a file, open, project solution, and back under CIS 120. What am I just got there? That's not what I wanted. Wrong flash drive, I think. Yeah, this is the one. Okay, I have got in here a read and a write. And those are very simple examples. And we will look at the more complex example, or I want you to look at the more complex example. But the point is, these are the basics. So I bring up this form write. This is under CIS 120. If you go to Visual Basic Programs, you'll find it if you want it. And it's under CIS 120 Programs. Okay. So this has three fields on it, and I want to be able to write these to a file. So the simple, basic way of doing this. Eventually I'll get it all there. Yeah. This is the simple way of doing it. The book gives you a much more sophisticated way of doing it. And as I said, we'll look at it. And if you don't have the book, I will try to remember to bring it in and Xerox it on Thursday. But I started out and I said, dim something called data write. Okay. And I said data write is a string, and it's equal to what I want to write. Okay, so it's equal to text ID number dot text, concatenated with a comma, concatenated with text name dot text, concatenated with a comma, concatenated with text major text dot text, and then concatenated with a line control. So what I'm doing there is I am saying I want to set up what I want to write. And I want to write out the ID number that the person entered in the box, followed by a comma, followed by the name they entered, comma, major, and then I want to go down to the next line. So I will start another row or in the table on the next line in the file. Okay? So that sets up the line to write. Then...
Does that go into the bin?
Yes, I believe so. I believe it goes into the bin. We'll look and see in just a minute. It doesn't go into the bin. I wasn't thinking. It goes to wherever I tell it to put it.
Onto the GDC,
yes.
Or whatever.
Right. And in your book, they do go over, which is why I answered that. They will go into how to put it into the bin. And we're going to look at that. I'm going to go over what's in the book, but I just think it's easier if you have to look at it
first.
Put it
in the two places if you want, really.
Yes. I believe you can. I have not tried that, but I don't see why you can't have two lines to tell it to go out. Okay. So here I said I wanted this to go to the G drive into those folders and into there. Okay. And what do I want to put in there? Data write. So I want to put data write, which is what I described up at the top, is data write. So I want to write out data write. Okay, so I'm going to change this, and I'm going to put this on the F drive. That's one of my drives that I have up there. So I'm going to put it on the F drive, and I'm just putting the text file on the F drive. Then I clear it out, and I put the focus back on the ID. Okay, so if I run this, yes, sir.
Talking to yourself.
Nah, I got two people.
I can see. One's asleep, though.
I'm boring him. He doesn't get any sleep any other time.
Yeah.
Is that
H? L turn.
L turn? For Lindsay.
Well, that's all right, but it looked like an H, but right. It's an L turn.
Okay. Yep. So.
See, look.
This guy tries to run three different lives simultaneously. He doesn't care which three lives. Okay, so ID number I'm going to put in as 111. The name is going to be John Doe, and the major is CI. And I click on write, and hopefully it wrote. What it did do is it cleared things out. And so now I'm going to put in Susan, ID, 2222, Susan Ash, CI, and I'm clicking on write. Okay, and then 333 is Linda French, and that is also CI, and I'm going to write that as well. And then when I'm done, I click end, and it ends it.
Yes, I'll be wrote out to the file, right?
It's being written to my F drive.
After you enter each one, you can have a message box that pops up that says add it to file or whatever, can't you?
Sure. And then you can put in another one. So now if I go in to my okay, why isn't that coming up? Okay, so now I want to go into... All right, what do I... Oh, good. It's run out of battery, but the other one is going. What am I not doing right when I click on this?
Oh, this is the same problem you had the other day.
Yeah, and I forgot it.
But you had to go into the... Wasn't there another way that you got the app?
Yes, and I can't remember what a Windows Explorer. Maybe that's it. Yes, I know. I turned you off. What? Now I'm all set. Right. And so now I want to find... I put it on F, right?
Yes.
And what did I call it? We're doing very well. It was on the 17th, student F11. So if I bring up student F11, there it is. Okay? So there's what I wrote. Okay. So now I've got the data out there, and it's in a file called student F11, a text file, and it's on F drive. Okay, so now I want to read it. And as I said, we'll get into how you can do this so when we look at the book a little bit better. But for now, I've got to copy that and then close this. And now I'm going to open File, Open Project Solution, and I'm going to open the read version. Okay, so I'm now reading the project. And there's the read. But the read has to be told where it is. So I've got to put in here the location where I put the file. Okay, so I've got to change that to show where I put the file. Okay, so I now have where I put the file. And if you look at this, when I said read, first of all, down here, it tells me I have a delimiter, and the delimiter is a comma, because remember I said I wanted to put a comma between each field. So the delimiter of each field is a comma. And so I now set it up, and I say, okay, up here, I said, dim new reader as new Microsoft Visual Basic file IO, da-da-da-da, and then I put the address so it could find it. Okay? And so when I click on Burn Read, it is going to go in and then come back with a record, and it's going to say, take the current row 0, which means the first field in the current row, current row 1, which means the second field, current row 2, which means the third field. And if there isn't any data, it comes down here and says, and the file is reached. Current row is something I defined as with a dim, okay? And I'm saying take what is in current row 0 and put it in text box so that if I run this now, and I click read, there's my first record. And I click read again, there's my second record. And I click read again, there's my third record. And I click read again, and it tells me end of file reached. So that's the quick and dirty way that I can make a file that I can write and then have available to me to read. Okay? Yeah.
I was just wondering, when you use this type of reading, what happens if you have you don't have the right major name ID? Like, say you're just trying to read a regular file, like a file that you're not sure.
Right. You know what I mean? Then you write a lot of if statements in here, checking to see if the data that you're reading is accurate. Okay. This is assuming that we have a perfect world, which we do not have. Okay, so that's the way that would work. But, yeah, definitely, you put in a bunch of if statements.
Are you teaching? Or?
Yes, I am.
Okay,
sorry. Okay, so that's how you do that. Okay, now we're going to stumble through and see how we do. And I'm going to see if I remember how to do it, because as I told you, this is the part I hate when you start having to click on certain things. So I'm going to do a file, new, project. Actually, I should have done a file, close. So let me do a file, close solution. Okay, so I'm going to do file, new, project. Okay, so I'm in Visual Basic, Windows Form, and now I'm going to go and say maybe a database. Okay, because I'm not altogether sure that I'm going to be able to create it, but we will see. And it's going to apparently go on the E drive. Remember, if you have the community version of this at home, it only shows that. It doesn't show any of the other stuff about browse, location. And then what you have to do is when you do a save all, it comes up with it. Okay, so I'm saying Windows Form application. And then I'm clicking OK. Okay, so there's maybe DB. And then I right click on this and do an add. And new item. And pick data. I'd actually do this, but we can do it after if you want data. And then we want service-based database. Okay, so we've got service-based database, and we're adding that. So now, as we add this, hello?
Is it on the form?
It's supposed to come over here. Did I tell it to do it?
I see you say smart word, but I didn't see you click add.
Okay, so, and that may be what I did. Well, it's not letting me click on it again, which indicates that something is possibly in action. By the end of class, it may have come up. There it is. Ta-da! So there's database one. Now, I left it database one, but back on that screen where it says data and I chose service, I could have changed the name of it and made it something else if I wanted to. Okay. So now if I come over here to Server Explorer, there is database one. Okay, so it's in there under Service Explorer. And if I click on this, it comes up and shows me some tables and some views. Okay, so I click on this, and it comes up and shows tables, views, whatever kinds of stuff that I can have. Then if I right-click on tables and say add new table. So I'm right-clicking on tables and saying add new table. So now it's giving me the table that I'm creating. And it started out by assuming that ID is going to be my primary key and that that's the first field. Okay? And fine, we'll make that the first field. And then I'm going to have student name and I'm going to make that a N character, which is like in... a character that can have a varying number of fields. So I'm going to make that, let's say, 50. And then I'm going to come down here and say major. And major, I'm going to click on this arrow and pick character because it's going to have a fixed number of characters. And I'm changing that to 2. Okay, so my major is 2. And I can keep going ahead and putting more data in this thing. When I'm done, notice what it's got down here. It's got the SQL, for those of you who recognize SQL. It says create table, and then it's basically got the SQL that creates the table. Okay. So then I say create table, and I can change the name of the table here if I want to. So I can make this stew table. Okay, so I can change the name of the table if I want. And then I hit update. Okay. And it comes back and does update. And then I say update database again on this screen. And it updates the database. And it came back and told me that it had updated it and all the rest of it. Okay. So I've now updated it. So basically what I've done here is I went in and created a database called database1.mdf. which is part of SQL Server, and now I've created a table on that database. Okay, so I've now got a table on the database. So now the next thing I want to do is I am going to get out of this, and I'm going to go back to the Server Explorer, and it now has my stew table there. Okay? So that's the table that I just created. So I now have a database, and I have a table that I just created. And now if I right-click on this table and say Show Table Data, pick Show Table Data, I can now put data into the table. So there is 1111, tab over, John Doe, CI major, tab over, 121, Susan Ash. Come on, let me go back there. And that would be CI also, and 123, Linda French, C MCI number 124, Ben Smith, and he's a BU major, we'll say. So now I put data in my table. Okay, don't really go to sleep on me. Now I've got data in my table. So what I've done now is I have created a table and I have put data in my table. Okay, so try that. Okay, because I've created a table and I've put data in my table. So I'm going to do a file, save all. And then we're going to try it, and I don't honestly expect you to remember everything that we did. I think I can close this down now. So I'm going to do a file, close solution. I have no idea what I just did, but I would like to get out of here if I can. File, save all. That should have saved it. Does it want me to go down there? I don't know what I'm doing wrong, but I obviously got out wrong and then coming in wrong.
I think you have to complete the database.
Like, but that's completed.
Well, like, you see how the red exclamation mark.
Yeah, and so I went down here.
Oh, it said somebody connection. What was the error? What's the error message?
I don't know. Let's see. File, save all. File, close. Invalid values for cell row 4, column 1. So it definitely thinks I should do that. Okay?
Yeah, delete the row.
So 120.
Can't be a blank data.
Right. So now I've got Ben, whatever I made his name, BU. And now it's.
Because the next one has been broken.
Request arbitrary because the connection has been broken. In fiddling around, I hit something somewhere. That
check to see if the internet is disconnected. I don't know. I've never seen that.
I have seen it, and I ran into it at home one time. So I'm just going to not even fiddle with it.
Yeah.
I'm going to go in and open Visual Basic again. Visual Studio, so I'm going in and opening it again, and we'll just ignore that one. Okay, so again, when you come in here, the first thing you're doing is you're creating a database. So you're saying file, open, project solution. Okay, try to do this with me. Oh, I didn't. I want to do new. Sorry about that. File, completely hung on to this point. Okay, you're going into File New, creating a new project.
Yeah, now will you go on the.
And then go and click on the project name. Once you've got it set up, click on the. No, the project name, you're right up there. And then do it. Get this one right there. Right, no, right there, the next one. And then to Add. Click on Add. New item. Okay. And then you want to click on data over here. and then server-based database down there. Yeah, count to 100, maybe. Yep, you got it faster. Okay, now go over here to Server Explorer. And right-click, or actually expand the... Yeah, at some point you need to refresh, and I don't think I did that. But it seemed to take already, I think. Okay, click on the arrow next to that. Did you already? Yes. Okay, now right-click on Table. Add new table. I mean, so far we aren't making it usable by Visual Basic yet. We'd have to make a connection for that, but this allows you to go ahead and then define the data. So as soon as this comes up, you can define the layout. Loading, loading, loading.
Basically, we create the databases and we can utilize it in the same way we did in the case.
So then that's what we're going to look at next Tuesday is how to actually, we've now looked at how to set up the database. We're going to look at how to use it.
And this is the only really way to set up a database in Visual Basic.
No, you can make it external. When I was doing Access, I used to make an external database and then you connect to it. There's a bunch of steps. And if we have time, I'm going to go through the Access ones too. But then you make it externally and then you connect to it. Fine. This one, they actually have incorporated because they're trying to get you to use this SQL server, so they've incorporated it. Good Lord.
Alright, well, I'll see you guys later.
Alright, you get any sleep then, or you guys...
I'm tired as hell already. I gotta go training. I got class. I finally got some teachers, so I'm getting some time back to myself. So other people can teach classes now. I'm just trying to get some sleep. I'm still getting 4 hours, but I need at least 6.
Yeah, 4 is not going to cut it for
that's
a long
rest.
Term.
That's not sleep.
That's right. You got it.
Yeah, exactly.
I know all about rest.
So why isn't this loading?
My installation was working earlier. I'm going to try that at home and see if it's...
Maybe it's that computer. Maybe that computer doesn't like you.
Then,
so anyway, when you get that, you can do the layout.
Yeah.
And when you close that...
I forgot about it. See, I was in the right area for project.
Right.
And then it was, you add the... you click data, then you hit add, and you choose the database there. And then once this...
Right. So when under Explorer, you go back to that and it's the show, and I can't remember what else it says, show database tables or something like that. And that's when you get to add in the data. Oh, what do you know?
You know, that guy's name was Steve Frechette, right?
Yes. Frechette. F-R. Yep.
Is security supposed to be the course that he's going to teach? Is that supposed to be something that's coming up in the future here, or they already have it?
Well, we already have all the security courses, but he's teaching an advanced one right now.
Let's see if I remember, but wasn't this part of the final years ago? He asked you had for Visual Basic.
He may, probably. Because for years I did Access, because that's what they did in the book. And then they switched to SQL Server, so I said, nope.